to greet everyone in Jesus' name tonight. Thank you, Fred, for sharing those thoughts. Hopefully we can shift gears a little bit and talk about separation in dress and ethical behavior. I'm not sure who put the verses up there above my topic, but thank you to whoever did that. Let's turn there first. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And I especially liked these verses because they deal with the heart of the matter, I think. In verses 24 and 25, we have, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's talking about the new birth. And we have to have a changed heart or we can't really be separate. So I would like to talk about separation as a positive thing. A lot of times it's a cutting off and it's a lot of work. And so we kind of think about it as a negative thing. But I like to think about it really is a positive thing. Separation unto God is a must. In James chapter 4, there's a few verses I'd like to read there. James chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We heard last night, John made it very clear that there's light and there's darkness. And we sometimes kind of confuse these two, and it's easy to, they're kind of easily confused because we are in this world, and so we have to deal with the things. But I'd like to highlight phrases like friendship of the world is enmity with God. That's pretty strong language. Whosoever is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. In verse 7, we have submit, resist, cleanse, draw nigh. It's a lot of action. It's going to take a lot of work, and it's going to take really purposeful action. And I think the question we need to ask ourselves, are we really sold out to Christ? Are we still trying to run the race while looking back and trying to run forward? And we stumble and we fall and we can't figure out what's wrong. Maybe we need to put our eyes on the goal. I see that in me. And I think that clarifies some of this, maybe for sure in separation in dress. Let's keep our eyes on the goal. If we look around and we look at ourselves, it gets really confusing. There's so much. How do we do this? How does this all work out? And let's look at Jesus and let's keep our eyes on him. So in this topic, separation in dress and ethical behavior, does what we wear matter? English philosopher Roger Scruton once said, clothes are worn to preserve our modesty, and protect our body from the elements. But that's not the only reason we wear various bits of cloth cut in different shapes and patterns. People live in their clothes and therefore see their clothes not in terms of any narratorial function, but in terms of the aims and accidents incidental to their lives. Their clothes come to represent them in the sense of heralding the nature which they wish to claim as their own. And I think we can all identify with that. We learn to know people by their clothes, kind of, in a way. We look around, and if you go to town, you can pick out businessmen. The trans community dresses in a certain way. You can often pick out homeless people by how they're dressed. And growing up on a dairy farm, you know how it is milking cows. You're out and you're getting dirty, and you're not afraid of the dirt. You just can't be. But sometimes you would go in and take a shower, and we got ready to go to church, and you had to go out and you had to check a cow or something. It gave a totally different feel. All at once, the barn was not the place. And just an hour before, you were there, and it didn't bother you any. But the barn was not the place. And a shower, I'm sure, had something to do with it, but also your clothes. In church clothes, it just did not feel right in the barn. So clothes also affects how we view ourselves. I think we should dress purposefully. The way we dress can boost our confidence. The way we dress can boost our confidence, focus, and productivity, making us feel more professional, authoritative, and motivated, while influencing how colleagues and those around us perceive our competence and commitment. Dressing appropriately signals readiness and helps minimize distractions. Feeling like you look the part creates a greater drive to perform well and tackle challenges. That was just a quick AI overview that I got online. And that was talking for sure about dress in the workplace. When it comes to if you feel like you look the part, then you're more able and ready to tackle the challenges. There's some interesting verses in Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15. Verses 38 through 40. Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put the fringe of the borders, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them. And that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. So several things. This was kind of specific ways that God told the children of Israel to dress. And I think we see in these verses two things that they benefited from that. It helped them remember who they were in verse 39 there, that ye may look upon it, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. And also it identified them. And dress identifies us very much. We talked earlier about businessmen and different, the way people dress identifies them. I just did some research on the advertising companies, and they very much understand that dress identifies them. And they pay thousands of dollars to have celebrities market their brands. Just to name a few, LeBron James partnered with Nike. Justin Bieber partnered with Calvin Klein. Taylor Swift has been on lots of marketing, different marketing partnerships. It said that she partnered with a company named Coach, and it was worth over $10 million. And I found something else here. It said that a casual outing with her wearing a specific jacket generated nearly $500,000 in media impact for that brand. Why? I think it's pretty clear. There's so many people that want to be identified with her, and they follow her, and they see her with that, and so they out and buy it immediately or soon. So clothes has a way of identifying us somehow. So, how should the Christian dress? I'd like to look at some principles of modesty in 1 Timothy 2. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. First Timothy 2:9, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array. This is talking maybe mainly to the ladies, but it's very much for all of us, I think. Modest simply means neither bold nor self-assertive. Unpretentious, and that's the way. If we dress to draw attention to ourselves, then that's pride. I think we can agree on that. We need to dress in a way that points others to Christ and not ourselves. How do we do that? Matthew 23, verses 1-7. Point others to Christ and not ourselves. Matthew 23, verses 1-7. Then spake Jesus to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. We see a lot of pride in these verses, don't we? A lot of pride. And it showed up in their dress. The phylacteries were the things that they would wrap it around, usually their left arm, and they would have a little box with some scriptures or something in, and they'd wrap it around their left arm, and they would have one for their forehead as well. And Jesus condemned them for making these things public and for dressing in a way that drew attention to themselves. There's a lot of pride here. God wants to be your security. Let's look in Isaiah chapter 3, and you can read it in the King James Version if that's what you have. I'd like to read it in the NIV. Isaiah chapter 3, verses 18 through 26, and it's not a pretty picture here when it comes to this is God judging the children of Israel for the way that they dressed, and he's saying he's going to bring judgment on them. And so we'll start in verse 18 through 26. In that day, the Lord will snatch away their finery, the bangles and the headbands and the crescent necklaces, the earrings and bracelets and veils, the headdresses and anklets and sashes, the perfume bottles and charms, the signet rings and nose rings, the fine robes and capes and cloaks, the purses and the mirrors and the linen garments, and the tiras and the shawls. Instead of fragrance, there will be a stench. Instead of a sash, a rope. Instead of well-dressed hair, boldness. Instead of fine clothing, sackcloth. Instead of beauty, branding. Young men will fall by the sword, your warriors in battle. The gates of Zion will lament and mourn. Destitute, she will sit on the ground. And we don't have time to get kind of the background of this, but God was judging them for the way that they dressed. And the way it sounds, they were decked out. They had everything. And God said he's going to take it all away. You know, pride in dress is like any other sin. It leaves us feeling more empty and insecure, and it's never enough. It only calls for more and more extravagance. If we try to find our security in this, and I like this saying here, let your image reflect your identity, not your insecurity. And I feel bad sometimes when I see people just decked out, because it's really a thin veil into their heart. And I think it shows a lot of insecurity, and it shows they're trying to persuade themselves and others that they're this thing, but they're not convinced. Let's let Jesus fill your need for affirmation and praise. He's the only one who can fill your soul's deepest needs. Matthew 11. Matthew 11, 28 and 30, very familiar verses. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Meek and lowly in heart, that's what it takes to be separate, and that's what it takes It's the only path to happiness and true fulfillment as well. Now, a little bit on ethical behavior. Ethical behavior I took as meaning more maybe things that the world would consider okay or a standard that the world lives by. But as Christians, we're called to live a higher standard. And it gets really close home for Mennonites, but I'm just going to read some verses. I don't have that many comments to make, but I have quite a few verses and scriptures here, so you can take out of them what it is. Let's read in Romans chapter 2. You know, one of the tests for Christianity and for us, if we're Christians, do we really believe what we say we believe? Do we really, in our heart? And it comes out by how we, this ethical behavior thing, I think, it comes out. If we really believe that the Bible has the answers and the Bible's right, and the Bible is what we should live by, then it comes out in this thing of ethical behavior. So I'm just going to read in Romans chapter 2, 17 through 24. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast in God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast in the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Do we really believe that the Bible means what it says? It'll make a difference in our lives. One thing, relationships. Do we get along? In 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 11. And this is where it says that something about the Gentiles. Give cause for the Gentiles to blaspheme. If we cannot get this one with relationships. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'll read 8 through 11. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rending evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Can we get along? That's one of the, I just think that a lot of times that gives the world a cause to blaspheme. In the world, it's expected. You just can't get along with everyone. You just can't. But I think we should show a different way and a better way. Does God guide our business deals? In Matthew chapter 5, just read a few things about that. In the world, they say, get out of it what you can. If you can take someone for a ride, then do it. That's on them. But we live a higher standard. And it comes out in this thing of ethical behavior. 38 to 48, Matthew chapter 5, 38 to 48. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh of thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Pretty difficult to put that into practice sometimes. Government regulations, hunting and fishing laws and building codes, laws about driving. Let's just read a few verses in Romans chapter 13. The Bible also has some things for us about that. Romans chapter 13, 1 through 7. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually unto this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. The difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is we obey for conscience' sake, not for wrath's sake. For wrath's sake gives the idea of just because we're found out, or just because no one's looking, or something like that. That's a higher standard, for sure. I'd also like to read a few verses in Malachi chapter 3. You know, we owe God our life, and we owe him our service. Malachi chapter 3, 8 to 18. Will a man rob God? Yea, ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that brought and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a servant spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Let's give God what is rightfully his. Let's not rob him of our consecration and service. Let's willingly separate ourselves to him and serve him with all of our heart. And God will bless us. God will be there for us. And he will also help us. Thank you for your attention.
Short evening. Thank God spoke to us. I'm going to open it up. Before I make too many words, give you the opportunity to share testimony or whatever you have.